1-800-222-2750 and tell them Free Fire Radio sent you.
Welcome to Free Fire Saturday. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Saturday is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome to Free Fire Saturday here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402. This is Carl Bott, and it is kind of an iffy Saturday. And it's for the hundreds of thousands of people that have been waiting since Thursday to have us back on the radio. Here we are. And I'm joined today by my producer, Heather. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Carl.
And you know, Heather's grown up in the radio business. She started here when she was 15. And, well, how old are you now? 40, 50? 19.
I'm 2 months shy of 20.
There you go.
Yes, but she got to vote for the first time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's right.
We won't ask you which party, because that's, you know, intruding.
Yeah, but you know what? You got out and voted. You know, we know people that were 45 years old, 46, 47, never voted before, voted this time, which I think, of course, is abhorrent that they wouldn't vote before now.
It was really hard for me to look at them the same way. I was like, okay, well, I'm glad you did, but where have you been?
Well, I didn't think it was important until now.
A little judgmental on my part.
Okay, and hey, now look, I'm also joined by my partner, Linda Bott.
Chatty Cathy today.
Hey, we're rocking and rolling. We got a lot of things we're
going
to talk about. Yeah, we got a lot of things we're going to talk about today. Let's talk about, and also we have our guest here. Our guest.
Dressed in camo.
In camo, so you can start narrowing down the number of people you know that dresses in camo all the time. Not all the time. But how appropriate that he is here today, because the headlines are on there about city services, and we're going to talk about that and a number of other things. But let's welcome Patrick Jones.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you, and good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
We're going to see if we can't turn up a little heat there where you're sitting.
Oh, that's all right. That's why I'm here. But before I get started, I just wanted to say on October 5th, I got a chance to go to see Linda doing some jazz, and I just wanted to say how wonderful that was. And I was just going to tell Linda that, you know, and I know Carl is more handsome than me and he's got more money than me, but, you know, if she ever gets tired of him, you know, she can come over and take a look at me. And I know I'm not that good of a catch, but, you know, she's pretty awesome up there on the stage, Carl.
Hey, I tell you what, she is. It's really nice. And I noticed all those little tough questions that Linda had written down, she just tossed them in the trash can.
No, I was just going to say, might think about it if you teach me how to reload.
You know what? And one of the things we're going to talk about gun sales, you're looking better all the time there, Patrick.
Well, it's glad to be here, and
thanks
thank you for having
words.
Me.
Okay, let's start kind of at the national level and work our way down. You know, one of the things on the national level is unemployment. Unemployment has hit a 14-year high of 6.5%. Now, that's the bad news. You know, the good news is it's 6.5%. It's not 20%. It's not even 10%. And it's a lot lower than many of the European nations, but still it's indicative of what's going on. I imagine here in Shasta County it's probably hit at least 10%, though. Not everybody, but many of the people we know have gotten hit. President-elect Obama gave a press conference yesterday. The uptake of that was he addressed the economy, but nothing specific. And I tell you what, this is not something that's going to be fixed. And I tell you what, I don't think it's going to be fixed in 4 years. We're not going to balance the budget. I don't know. What do you think, Patrick?
Well, it's this is going to be a challenging time. And you know, here on a local level for the city of Reading, we also are going to be faced with some tough challenges. And this is a tough time to be a city council member, but that's why we got elected, and we'll make some tough decisions. We're essentially not receiving as much money today as we have in the past. And because of that, and because of a prolonged economy in this particular state, I'm expecting this economy to be low for another year or two. We are on a hiring freeze, a soft hiring freeze, and in addition, we've already made cuts, and we will most likely have to make more cuts. How deep, it really depends on what kind of less funds are coming into the city. So that's disappointing. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that we keep the level of services to the city of Reading residents, you know, as high as we possibly can. But we are experiencing less money coming in, and so it's going to be a tough next year, and we're dealing with it the best we can. But cuts are probably right on the horizon.
Okay, you know, well, what kind of cuts are we talking about? I know when we say nebulous, there has to be cuts, but is there any kind of specific ones, perhaps?
Well, we have been already, really almost for the last year, been making cuts by having a soft hiring freeze, so positions are not being filled. We have made general fund across the board cuts. We're going to have to do that again. And that means across citywide, different departments, they're going to be a man down, a person or two down, in a wide variety of areas. Now, we're trying to spare public safety because we put that as one of our, you know, as our highest priority. I know it's my highest priority, but it's tough, you know, when we have guys out there trying to do the best that they can for the city of Reading residents, and we're having to cut some personnel. That's, you know, those are tough decisions that we have to make. We don't like making them, but it's really across the board in every category.
Okay, Patrick, thanks a lot. Hey, look, this is Carl Bott here on Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We're going to take a quick break here. Phone lines are backing up. Join us on the other side. This is Carl Bott, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400. John, good morning.
Good morning.
John, good morning.
How are you doing, Carl?
I'm doing great, John.
I have a question a question of Patrick, if I could.
Sure.
Patrick, first of all, I've always appreciated your fiscal conservatism on the board and how you've addressed the economic concerns of the city as well as just the benefits of what can be done. That being said, it appears that one of your non-conservatives is going to leave the board, fiscal conservatives I'm talking about, which would be either Murray or Dickerson, and for sure it appears that Missy MacArthur is going to be on the board. Do you see her aligning herself with the kind of grouping of you and Rick Vecetti, or will she fall into line with Stegall and either Murray or Dickerson, and the same old is going to continue? Well, I'll take the answer off the air, and I'd like to know what your feelings are about it.
That's a good question, John.
Yeah, it's that is a very good question.
You're welcome. Sorry,
we
could be more helpful.
So I'm wondering here. There we go. Sorry about that, John. Very good question. You know, elections come around every 2 years, and it's broken up every three, and every two members of council get to go up. And, you know, and this time around, it appears that Councilman Ken Murray is not going to make it. Now, I was in this very same situation in 06. I was leading by 150 votes over John Mathena, beating Mathena at that time with 6,000 votes still to count. And through all that whole process, I made it out by 87 votes and was sworn in shortly thereafter. And so most likely in this particular scenario, I think Ken is down 244 votes, and I don't think as these votes are counted that he's going to have enough to overtake Councilman Dickerson. So
But there's still a couple thousand votes out there.
Oh, right? There's like 9,000.
9,000.
But typically, through the various districts through the city, they're fairly consistent if you look at those numbers, and so it doesn't change a lot. It could, so not, you know, it's you just got to kind of sit and wait and let Kathleen Darling do her work down there.
And by the way, Kathleen Darling does a great job.
She does, and she'll be giving one of them a call. She'll be giving both of them a call, and somebody's going to have good news, somebody's going to have bad news. Now, with regards to Missy MacArthur, and I congratulate her for running a very good campaign. It's tough to beat an incumbent, and she was able, it looks like, able to do that. So now the question is, she has ran on a campaign of being fiscally conservative, and so one would think that she would, you know, kind of be like-minded with me and Rick. So time will tell, and you know, things are happening right now. So as soon as she gets sworn in, we're gonna find out exactly, you know, just. What Missy thinks, and you know, it's a tough time to be a council member, and so she's going to jump right into the fire, and so we're going to find out pretty quick.
Well, it's kind of like, why would somebody want to be president right now? Yes, you can feel like you're going to take it in a new direction, but what gets right down to it is, for the first time, Obama got some briefings, White House level, president level briefings on Iraq and a number of other things. And if you don't think that can wake you up real quick, the little things you were saying, and then you realize, if I do this, It's not even the consequences of the direct action. It's four countries over and 2 years from now.
Well, and that's the same thing for us at the city council. And that's why, to me, it's so important for those candidates to go to those council meetings years in advance and to get your feet wet, to learn some of those topics and to see what's going on. And without going to council meetings for years prior to being elected, you've got some ground to make up. And so that's going to be an issue, possibly, so it's, I don't envy, Missy jumping in at this time, but, we have some really tough decisions. It's just a fact that we're receiving less money today than we have in years gone by. We've watched the market adjust itself drastically in a downward spiral. We've seen people lose somewhere in the 20-30% of their net worth, and so this is this is tough times, and we are going to have to make some tough decisions. And we don't do it with lightness. This is people's lives, and we want to deliver the best service to the city of Reading. We're very serious about that, and we want to protect our workers. We have some great city workers that do a good job, and it's going to be tough to do it all. But we're going to try.
Yeah, you can't do it all. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. One thing I like about my good friend Patrick is he doesn't have any short answers, and he really explains it, and you really understand what it's all about. Just as I was getting ready to run out the door to the pancake breakfast prior to the vets parade, you bring old Patrick on, and I wanted to ask Patrick a question that's been bothering me and several of my friends for some time, and here it is, Patrick. The word's been on everybody's tongue here the last few years, more prominently these days, that the Reading Police Department is down on concealed weapons permits, and, quote-unquote, secondhand sources say they would like to get rid of them. They don't like people to have them. And if this is so, Patrick, Mr. Councilman, who I do appreciate, could you look into this and see if you can rectify this situation?
Well, of course, you know me. I've already done so, and you are correct in that the city right now. In fact, I asked our past chief, Chief Modi, how come we hadn't issued any concealed weapon permits last year, and he said, "Well, we were considering doing one." That wasn't a real good answer to me. Essentially, the city doesn't like issuing concealed weapon permits, and I am disappointed about that. I would like to see that change, and I will continue to work on that. I am really happy with the job that our sheriff is doing, Tom Pazinko, and how he is handling the situation. He has stepped up. I think he's quite possibly been the very best sheriff we've ever had concerning concealed weapon permits. He's really gone out of his way to run as good a department as he can down there in regards to issuing concealed weapon permits. But your point is well taken. The city has not come anywhere close to that level, and I'd sure like it to be. I think what it would send, the message that it would send, is that we care about this issue. We are concerned that we haven't done it in the past, and we'd like to do it today. And I think it sends a bad message when we're not issuing concealed weapon permits to law-abiding people. I think anybody that has a good background that wishes to have a permit should be able to apply. If they're a city resident, they should be able to apply within the city.
Okay, we checked this one thing out here, Patrick. I appreciate that answer. Is that I can't get into any sources on this, but when a person, say, has to use their concealed weapon because they fear their life for a moment or an instant, and of course they're honest people and they reported that they had to draw down on somebody, etc. Well, I've heard sources unknown for this conversation that the RPD puts a lot of pressure on the sheriff, saying this guy that did this is extremely unstable, la-di-da. I don't care if the person he was facing, has a record as a psycho, a murderer, whatever. Can take that guy's concealed weapons permit away because we don't like him, and this guy showed some instability.
Well, I haven't heard those same remarks, so I can't really comment on those because
Keep your ears open on that?
Absolutely. I mean,
that's true because you got a concealed weapons permit, and I think anybody that can pass that test, and it's not an easy test as we know, has an IQ that would warrant the fact that if a person ever had to use this thing, you almost in the back of your mind say, God, I got one chance to use this thing. When I use it, unless it's completely solid gold, I'm going to lose it. So you almost go down into the ditch thinking, this wasn't warranted to be a situation where I had to pull my gun.
Well, once again, I haven't heard those kind of comments, and I don't think most of us kind of feel that way. I think if your life is really being threatened and you know your life's about ready to be terminated and you're going to defend yourself, and I really don't think people are going to be looking. I think what has probably occurred is we probably have a couple individuals possibly that have had some particular cases where they've had some run-ins with law enforcement in this kind of manner. And I think it's probably some particular cases as opposed to a citywide feeling or an issue.
To a trend. Hey, Jim, is this has anything to do with the gentleman that called me the other day on the show?
Slightly, yeah. But the thing of it is, Patrick, as a politician, and I've had experience as a wannabe politician, you never want to use the word individual derogatory because the government is based on individuals, all right? And you can say that, you know, if you ever had to pull it and all this, well, you never really, as a person that goes down and gets their concealed weapons permit, you never know when, you know, okay, do I pull my weapon now because I know this guy's going to launch on me here, big old strap and tattooed dude, or do I wait for him to, you know, roll me up in a bundle and halfway knock me out? I mean,
well,
you don't know what to do.
That is... I mean, I know what to do. If you don't know what to
do
that's I'm correct. But, I mean, we don't live our lives in fear. And that's, I think, most people that have concealed weapon permits, that's how we live our lives. We live our lives freely, and we come and go as we please. And that's the whole idea with having a concealed weapon permit.
Okay, great. Maybe, Carl, run that one case by you, and keep your ears open for that, Patrick. And I know you'll take care of that business, and I hope to see you all down there at the Veterans Parade. Over and out.
We're going to be talking about
Thanks
it, Jim.
For
Thanks
call.
For calling.
Hey, this brings us to our segue, obviously. Gosh, right here in the third page of the Searchlight, fears of crackdown drive gun sales.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that, and I have experienced higher than normal gun sales for sure, without a doubt, particular types of guns for sure. Before the election, as the election was drawing near, and of course now after the election, we have seen an increase on semi-auto rifles and on handguns, And I kind of expected that. We've seen these kinds of things before. It's a little surprising that people are going out in such quick speed because really nothing, our new president-elect has not been officially sworn in yet. Nothing is going to change for a while. But I'm not saying that there isn't going to be some change because I think people do have it partially right in that I believe there is going to be some changes. This is the most... anti-gun president that we'll have ever elected, and that is a true statement. I believe that to be true. There will be changes coming, and I'm not just saying that because I like higher gun sales. The reality is this is a short term, and in long term sales, I believe will be hurt by this president.
Well, now let's talk about specific things that can happen in the first, say, 100 days of the new administration. You have new Congress and Senate in here.
Well, I don't know if they're going to push. It has been said that they're going to push a new federal assault weapon bill. Of course, Joe Biden sponsored that legislation in 1994, and it expired in 2004, and I know he wasn't very happy with that. He's now the second most powerful person in the world, and he will not let that lie. So I am sure they're going to come back with a new ban on rifles, certain categories, certain features, and it's going to be worse than the one we had before, and it probably won't have any time span on it like we saw last time. So I just don't know if that's going to happen in the first 100 days or not, and I don't think it will, but that's what's driving these sales, is that there's uncertainty out there. I believe it's real uncertainty. And people are purchasing. I think a lot of these people, and my sales have increased considerably. I think they had already, most of them, I've seen them around before. I think they were already going this direction. It's just this pushed them to the point of, hey, it's time to get this done. And so they came in and purchased, and they're waiting their 10 days and so forth.
Well, according to this report, it says that Franklin Gun Shop outside of Nashville, Tennessee, sold more than 70 guns on Tuesday, making it the biggest sales day since the shop opened 8 years ago. And Guns and Gear in Cheyenne, Wyoming, also sent a one-day sales record on Thursday, only to break that mark on Wednesday.
Well, you know, and I don't
Tuesday. Excuse
I don't
me.
Know about Tennessee and some of the other states. Wyoming's fairly small, but it's true. In we have had increased sales. There's no question about it. But we have seen other bands in the past where we've had some really extremely high sales days. So It's true. It's happening across the nation. Shops are increasing sales. It's a short-term situation because they're fearing what can happen. So I'm not going to disagree with it. There is going to be some changes with this administration. I just don't think they're going to happen here really fast, but they are certainly going to happen. And I would encourage people. Not necessarily in the next couple of days, but I would encourage people, if there is a particular firearm that you're interested in, to go get it. Don't wait, because if we do wait, mm-hmm. you may wait too long.
Well, good. Let's go to the phones before we take our break.
Ray, good morning.
Hey, Carl. How you doing?
We're doing pretty good.
Great. Hey, Carl, I had recent surgery, and I'm not going to be able to make the Marine Corps ball on Monday, but I've got two tickets and a couple of toys, and I'd be more than glad to give it to an active Marine or, a former Marine who wants to go. It's on my treat, okay?
Okay. Now, how do we get a hold of you, Ray?
Call me at Haven Humane. That's where I'm the CEO now. I'm at 243-4030 anytime Monday, and whoever calls me, I'll come on down. I'll give them the tickets and the two toys.
Is that Dr. Ray John?
Yes, it is.
Oh, we love you.
What happened to you?
Yeah, I had shoulder surgery in June, and I got one of those severe staph infections.
Oh,
my gosh.
Dear.
And then I had another surgery, and it's been 5 months. I'm 33 pounds lighter, but...
Oh, my gosh.
So, I've been working my job, but I'm realizing I can't, after 5 or 6 at night, I'm practically asleep.
Yeah,
but I bought the tickets, and then I thought, it's not fair. I'm just going to go home early, so I want some Marine. Maybe there's an active kid, Carl, that you might know. I'd be glad to treat him.
Okay, well, we can give a call. We're going to, of course, be at the parade today that starts at 10 o'clock out there, and we'll talk to people that way that may want it. And, you know, Dr. Ray John is one of our shining lights here, one of our heroes here in the town of Reading, who, if there's something good that's being done somewhere in there, Ray John is associated with it.
Well, thank you, Carl.
Well, no, we thank you.
Stay well.
Okay,
get better.
And Carl, you can call me on my home line if you've got somebody today, and I'll hold them for them, okay?
Got it.
All right. Hey, God bless, and happy birthday.
Thank you. Happy birthday to you, too, right?
Thank you, sir.
And we're talking about that birthday, of course, is the Marine Corps birthday, which is Monday, November 10th. And we're going to have a big Marine show there. We're going to have Marines on. We're going to have a special guest also. Now, we're going to take a break here in a couple minutes, and Doug LaMalfa is going to join us also after this break. He wants to talk about something our governor has proposed, essentially a 1.5 cent increase on the sales tax right before Christmas. The Grinch that sold the Grinch that stole Christmas. Here we go. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. This is Carl Bottom, Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are backed up. Join us on the other side.
Good morning. KQMS News Time is 7:31. I'm Heather Gibson, taking a look at the latest headlines. Officials have identified the 4-year-old victim of an accidental shooting who died Thursday afternoon of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound to his head. The coroner's office has confirmed that the cause of death for Hunter Rhodes. He's the son of Reading police officer Jason Rhodes. The boy reportedly got a hold of a handgun in his parents' bedroom yesterday at his home in the city of Shasta Lake. Detectives are not saying whether the gun used was his father's service weapon. A large multi-agency hazardous materials response was mobilized yesterday morning to find out what was making a chemical-looking oily slick on the surface of the Sacramento River in the area of Park Marina Drive. As it turns out, crews working on the Highway 44 bridge project driving sheet pile nicked a low-pressure hydraulic line and released less than 5 gallons of soy-based hydraulic oil into the river. The substance is reportedly harmless to wildlife and drinking water supplies. Taking a look at the latest KQMS weather forecast, expect patchy fog early this morning and then mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain showers later this afternoon. Highs around 64 degrees. Overnight, a slight chance of thunderstorms in the early evening. Rain showers are likely. Lows around 45 to 50 degrees. It's currently 50 degrees under partly cloudy skies in Reading. I'm Heather Gibson for News Talk 1400. This is KQMS.
Hey, this is Carl Bob. Welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. Dan, good morning.
Hi, Carl. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing good today, Dan.
Hello?
Yeah, we're doing good today, Dan. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm on his cell phone here out on Millville Plains Road. I called about a week and a half ago for, and asked you to ask Doug about the unemployment insurance fund and my theory about it being rated like the Social Security and the Reading Electric Fund.
Well, guess what, Dan? You obviously...
No, this is great. I missed Tuesday and Wednesday when you said you thought he was going to be on because, well, I'm sitting in my gravel truck right now. Working on a Saturday, and I was out of radio range those 2 days.
Well, Dan,
anyway, I'd appreciate it if you'd ask him that, and on his purpose for being there, all I can say is no more taxes.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan, we did address it, because I talked to Doug about that,
and
he's going to be on again today, but here's what he said, I'll boil it down, and we talked about it Tuesday or Wednesday, is that they can't touch that fund. By law, they can't touch that fund. That doesn't mean that they don't touch other funds.
Right.
So you should be safe that way. However, he did also say is that it's not in the best shape in the world, but it's not something that they can just go in and siphon off like they did, you know, like our federal government did the Social Security.
Right. But, you know, I still wonder why it's in trouble, because historically our unemployment rate isn't that high yet.
Historically, you're absolutely right.
After this election, it probably will be, but, you know.
But what you need to do is Doug should be calling in this morning, and the line's been backed up, so hopefully he'll try again. And we can we'll address it one more time, because he wants to talk about that cent and a half.
Okay, I hope I've been radio rangy, and I have to go up out of Igo Paz off Pine Road today with gravel.
Well, look, if you miss one of our shows, and I know that's hard to believe, but if somebody misses one of our shows, if you go to our website, freefireradio.com, we have every show on there.
Okay.
And you can
just
click on it and listen. You can fast forward to the parts that, you know, that like Patrick Jones, so you can hear Linda, myself, and Doug, and then you can but you can listen to every show if you go to freefireradio.com.
I heard that.
Well, thanks a lot. You guys are the best thing that's happened to this radio station since Ray Roberts.
Well, hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do too.
Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Yeah, we'll have to make sure that Ray knows that someone such wonderful accolades.
Ron. Yeah, you know what? Ray's a great guy. Yeah. What do you think, Ron?
The question is, what I think of Ray John? I think he's wonderful. And I want to say hi, Ray, if you're still listening. This is Ron Largent. Anyway, he's a great guy. I love him dearly. Hey, here's an issue that I have right now that I'm going to be pursuing with the new city council. And I don't know, is Patrick still on?
Yes, he's here.
I'm here, but I'm hiding right now. I'm over in the corner.
Well, here's the question. We are now getting cuts. It was in the paper today. You talked about it. But yet I was told by at least two candidates that we have this reserve, that we really don't have to worry about anything, that the city is in good shape. And
well, unfortunately, as you know, and you've seen enough campaigns to see things and to see people say a lot of things, the problem is that, you know, you can say whatever you want during a campaign cycle, but the reality is, you know, we may have to be doing different things than what people said. You know, these are tough times, and as you know, and you've seen it in the real estate business, you know, they're fairly unprecedented. And, you know, I knew quite a long time ago that the 1% or the 1.5% reduction that we made would not be enough, that we are not receiving the kind of sales tax and various taxes in that we normally would. Monies are tight, and we're going to have to make some more cuts. Now, I'm not real thrilled about that, because it could affect your level of service, and that could be your trash service could be delayed. I mean, it could be a variety of different things, and so you're right, you know, and it's unfortunate that during races people say everything is fine, everything is great, we're not going to need to make any cuts, but the reality is this is a tough economy, and I believe we are going to have to make some more cuts, and I think some of the candidates got it right, and I think some of the candidates got it wrong. Let's hope that we elected the right ones.
Well, can you clarify what they refer to when they say the city has a reserve that can be used in the event of a downturn in the economy?
Yeah, we do. We have a 10-year plan, and we do have a reserve, but it fluctuates. And the problem is that we have made the plan, you know, a year ago, and so now we're going to be making a mid-year adjustment. And we'll probably be making those types of adjustments here fairly soon. And that's going to take us down. We try to keep at least a 5% reserve, and I think we'll be able to do that. The problem is that once we get to that point, then we have to start making cuts in a variety of different departments, and that means personnel cuts, and service level cuts. That's all we can do. If we don't have the money to do it, we can't do it. Wages, pensions, benefits, things that we have obligated ourselves to in the past, we have to continue to do those things. And that's why as we move forward today, as difficult as it is, we have to be very cautious about that because we're receiving less money. And I don't have a magic ball, so I don't know how next year is going to be, and I don't know how 2 years from today is going to be, but I suspect that it's not going to be much better. And so being very fiscally conservative right now, I think, is exactly the type of person that we need. It appears that Missy is going to win a seat on the council. She has ran on that, and it'll probably come in real handy.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Patrick. Appreciate your work.
Well, let's talk
Ron,
about tonight.
Thanks.
Go ahead. Yeah, Ron, thanks for the call. Talk about tonight. We're going to be joining you, but let's tell our listeners what tonight's about.
Well, tonight I'm very pleased and excited to announce that we're going to have a what we call a GOC banquet, which is Gun Owners of California. And this is a gun lobby group that's been in Sacramento for 33 years now, fighting for our gun rights. And they're taking the next step, and they're starting to do banquets in various cities across California to generate income, so that we can send that income back to Sacramento with Gun Owners of California and start fighting a tougher fight in Sacramento. And I can tell you the climate down there is unbelievable. And if you think it's bad at the national level, go to Sacramento sometime. It is horrible. And the atmosphere down there and the anti-gun atmosphere is strong. And so this is an opportunity for anybody that's listening. And you can still buy tickets at the door tonight. It's at the Anderson Fairgrounds of Facero Hall. Doors open at 4:30. Dinner starts at 6. There are still tickets available. You can buy them at the door. You can come by Jones's Fort today. You can come by Great Outdoors today and buy a ticket today if you want, or buy it at the door if you like. And it's $70 for a prime rib dinner, plus you get to be a member for a whole year of Gun Owners of California. So that's going on tonight. We're going to be giving away a lot of guns. Smith & Wesson has stepped up, donated a considerable number of guns, and we're going to do live auction and silent auction and general raffle, and that all starts tonight at 4:30, Gun Owners of California banquet at the Anderson Fairgrounds.
And we'll be there at 4:30 for the cocktail hour.
We're going to be in our my uniform and her ball dress, because right after that we're heading to a Marine Corps ball right down the road.
Well, and we appreciate both of what you guys have done for the North State, and for showing up at this great event. And I know Doug is going to try to make it there, and Tom Bazinko, our sheriff's, going to try to be there. So we're going to try to get as many people there as possible and raise a little bit of funds for Gun Owners of California. And again, it's a great organization. These guys are fighting our fight in Sacramento for us. They're our gun lobby, and they do a wonderful guy. Tim Macy's here in town today, and he's putting on the event, and he's got a whole crew of people, and of course I'll be there this evening as well. And just really excited about this opportunity to try to generate some funds to send to a real good cause.
Okay, hey, look, we've got to take a quick break here on News Talk 1400 KQMS and Free Fire Radio. Join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Bott, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Let's go to the phones. Dayton, good morning.
You say Dayton?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. How you doing, Carl? See, you guys are talking about these gun permits. I think everybody in Redding should have a gun permit. You know, I was in the glass business for years, and a few years back, I worked for a gentleman that put all the glass in a great big huge building out on the Airport Road. Nobody even knows about it. I never saw a sign. I didn't know about it, except for the gentleman I was working for let me know. It's a great big parole board. And this is where they parole. I wouldn't say all, but a big majority of the people that come out of Folsom and other prisons, they send them up to Redding and parole them up here. Now, I believe everybody should have a chance, a second chance. You know, this is just flooding the market right up here, and then they take the permits away from everyone. I think this is really stupid. I wish you guys would look into that and see just how many parolees we have running around up here.
Well, I know that one time thing Dayton was is that years ago, this used to be a dumping area for parolees. And but I understand, though, in the last few years or even what, in the last decade, that they've pretty much cut that off. And don't you have to be like a member of our city or county to be dumped up here?
Well, Carl, you know, on the topic of concealed weapon permits, like I say, everyone that does live in the city, of course, lives in the county of Shasta. And so you can apply. You take a class, like for example, you know, we at Jones's Fort give a class, and there are classes throughout the county that you can take. You complete your class, you get a certificate, you go down to the permit center across from the courthouse at the sheriff's department there, you apply, and if you have a good background, you'll be getting your concealed weapon permit. And that's good in all counties throughout California. And, you know, I know from a previous show that a caller has talked about a particular person losing their permit or getting their permit revoked, and that's a particular case. I really don't believe that's what's happening out there. We have over 4,000 permits here in Shasta County. The sheriff's been extremely good about issuing those permits to anybody that passes their class, has their certificate, and applies. I've certainly had my permit for 20 years and have enjoyed that. And we give the classes every month, year-round, and those classes are increasing year after year, and people are getting their permits more and more every day. And there are going to be some cases where if it's felt that someone is being aggressive or violent in nature, that they may lose their permit if it's unwarranted. And so I don't know the specifics on that one particular case, but I'm positive that is not what's occurring out there. The majority of permit holders are continuing to enjoy those permits. They cherish those permits, and they take very good care of that permit, and they're making sure that they don't lose that permit.
Well, I tell you what, like I said, when I went down and receive mine, and I don't like to advertise it, but I think that it's good for our public to know these things. This is an individual right that we have, and if you choose to do that, then just like Patrick says, and then we go to but we went down there Tuesday, right after the election, or Wednesday right after the election. It gets a little crowded down there, so it's just like everything else.
We got a special caller.
Oh, wait a minute! Now we've got somebody that's another one of those hundreds of thousands that listen. Sheriff Tom Basenko. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, Carl and Patrick. How are you doing?
We're doing fine.
I heard the other gentleman call in about the parolees, and those are actually people that we have sent to prison, and then they get paroled back to Shasta County. And by law, California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation can only send 5% of our parolee population from other areas here, and it's controlled fairly tightly on sending other parolees from other areas to Shasta County, and we do keep a tab on that.
Well, great, you know, because that's what I thought. At one time I understood is that anybody could come up here, but this had changed in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, maybe even further.
That is correct, and Patrick was correct also. There's about 1,300 parolees for Shasta County as a whole. Another big concern, which most of the registered sex offenders are not on parole or probation. Once they complete that, they still have to register. And we have about 750 sex registrants for Shasta County as a whole, the majority of being in the city of Redding.
Tom, while we have you on the phone, it's Linda Bott here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about, kind of in the rough numbers, as far as gun permits, concealed carry permits that you've... the office has received, walk-ins in the last 2 or 3 days. Has it been unusually high?
It's probably due for about renewal time. I don't think they're new permits. We have about 4,000 for the county as a whole. City of Redding only issues a half dozen. I don't know how many the City of Anderson does. We do the vast majority of them at the sheriff's office. But when it comes up a certain time, it was very big right around election time. I think some people were renewing their permits, worried about what would happen from the federal side. But the Shasta County side, I'm a big supporter of the Second Amendment and the right to carry for CCWs, and that's not a problem here in Shasta County.
Well, as you know, we've been, I think, I don't know if you know for sure, but we've been getting a number of phone calls about people that... not about people, but about an individual that had his CCW pulled. And he's been on the show once, and then somebody else just called today. And, of course, we can't talk about specifics, but how does somebody have their CCW pulled? What are those conditions?
Usually we look and see if there has been a crime or an occurrence, and a serious crime, usually one of violence or perhaps misjudgment, bad decision-making, and what they're doing, especially if it involves a gun. We've been very fortunate in Shasta County that our CCW permit holders have not committed a crime using the gun. Sure, there's been some people picked up maybe for DUI or something like that, but it's not involving the gun itself. But then in cases where maybe a person has brandished the weapon inappropriately, then we look at those very seriously. If there's a domestic violence involved, those are usually the instances in which the permit gets pulled. And since I've been in office for just a little over 2 years, I can think of about two instances because those come directly to my office and I review those cases.
Okay, Tom, we're going to have to take a quick break here. Can we ask you to hold for a couple minutes?
Sure, you bet.
Okay, this is Carl Bott here on Free Fire Radio here on Newstalk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Bott, and welcome back here to Free Fire Radio. Hey, Sheriff, you know, one of the things, reason I wanted to hold you on is that there's always going to be something that comes up, but we do appreciate you, your work here in the county.
Oh, thank you.
And what you've done, you know, I've only been up here like a year and a half maybe, and one of the things that I noticed was the ability to people were being treated like adults. As far as the CCW, when you go down below Sacramento, you might as well just, you know, whistle in the wind for any chance you have of obtaining a concealed carry permit.
You're exactly right. In more urban metropolitan areas, the CCWs are as scarce as hen's teeth.
Tom, I just wanted to say thank you so much as well. You know, you've been so visible out in our community. Everywhere I go, I see Tom out there somewhere, and he's been really doing a super job as sheriff as a whole, not just on concealed weapon permits, but just as a whole, we want to thank you for all the good work that you've done.
Okay. And we get to see you tonight.
And we've got a call.
I'll be there tonight, and I was at the Veterans Day Parade at breakfast at the City of Chess Lake, which goes till 10, and then I have to hustle back up there. I'm going to pick up my bike and be in the parade up there. And then
we'll be
up there. And then don't forget the Marine Corps birthday dinners that are in Reading and Bernie this next week.
Well, I guess we'll see you there, too. I mean, we might as well just, you know, maybe we should share a ride.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Patrick.
All right.
Okay, now we've got a Sheriff, are you still on?
I am.
Okay, I've got another caller here that wants to talk to you.
Okay.
Okay, you're on. Wally.
Yeah, I've just got a couple quick questions about the concealed weapons permit. Number one, can I take the class and apply for the permit before I get a weapon? And number two, how far back do they go on a DUI? Because I believe I had one 12 years ago, and I'll listen on the radio for the answer.
Okay, thank you.
Generally, you can take the class, or you can apply for the permit, but obviously you don't get issued the permit. You need to have a weapon to be to place that on there. Hopefully somewhere you'd have one and have some training with it. But and most of the providers do provide the training. And a misdemeanor DUI is usually okay. We look at the length of time, 12 years, should not be a problem. If it was a felony DUI, then that would be a problem because as a felony, you're not unable to possess firearms.
Okay, now that's and the way we understand it is that you go through the classes. If you've had prior firearms training is one thing. In Linda's case, she went through all the testing, all the training, all the shooting, and before we went down there, she already had a weapon to be put on the on her license.
And I joined the NRA.
Yeah, and then you can have up to three weapons on a permit, and basically the criteria is be a Shasta County resident and a reasonable, responsible gun owner and citizen.
Well, that's, you know, and that to me is one of the big things, is that if you're a law-abiding citizen, if you're responsible, why the hassle on having a weapon? Why the hassle on me buying a semi-automatic rifle? Why the hassle on me buying a semi-automatic handgun? I don't understand this. I mean, and it's not so much, and people that live and are from around here, you know, they don't get hassled about it, but I tell you, you go anyplace else, and I've lived in many places in the United States, that it's like you are something wrong with you if you want to buy a weapon. If you have something besides a shotgun, what are you type mentality?
Yeah. I agree with you, and that philosophy is different.
We love being
here. In other places of the state, and definitely in the nation, the permit is good statewide. Obviously, don't bring it into courthouses or federal buildings. There is some laws regarding that, but it is good statewide when I issue a CCW permit.
Right. Hey, Sheriff, thanks a lot for calling in and clearing up a lot of this.
You bet. Take care and have a great weekend. And thank you for your show and, Patrick, for the job that you do for public service as well.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. We get to see Tom and we get to see Patrick tonight. And we're going to be in the parade today.
Parade today at 10 o'clock at Shasta Lake City. Okay, now, I'm going to tell you, Patrick, you better watch out. I was teaching school yesterday. I was substituting. I won't say where because people pull their kids out of there. But I had the student government class. And the president of the 7th grade, I said, well, how did you get elected? He said, my platform was to make sure all the footballs and basketballs and tether balls were pumped up so we could use them. I said, no free ice cream? Nope. No getting out of school early? Nope. And then I realized, and I said, you won. He said, by a landslide. And I realized this kid, this 12-year-old, had broken the code. He found out something the people needed. He did it. He fixed it. And he didn't charge him for it. Patrick, you better watch out in 2 years.
Well, I tell you, he had it right. I mean, there were real problems. What I call that was there were infrastructure problems. He addressed them, and he got elected, and that's exactly what I'm doing. No fancy frills for me. Fixing roads and infrastructure is what I'd rather be doing.
Okay. Hey, look, this has been a great show. Thank you for joining me and my partner, Linda, on Free Fire Radio. Now, remember, you can go to our website, freefireradio.com. You can get a hold of us that way. You can call the office. You can send us emails. We address every one of them. Right now, I'm behind on my phone calls because I had a whole bunch of them yesterday, but I promise to get to you. This is Carl Bott and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?